Well, it is so good to have every one of you with us today. And in case you're new, my name is Matt, and I'm just super excited to be able to get to share a little bit with you today. And right now we have many who are joining us online as well. I was just looking, we have April that's out at a baseball field right now, and Cherokee's out there. I know there's lots of other ones. So if you're in the room with me right now, would you help me welcome in the rest of our online family? Good to have you all with us. Yeah. Well, hey, these last 4 weeks of our You're Invited series have been fun. Hopefully you've been here for all those or at least a few of them. And man, we had a great time, had a blast. And man, there's just so much to celebrate. And one of the things to celebrate is so many of you who helped make it happen. And so if you were a volunteer for our You're Invited series and served on one of our teams, thank you. Yeah, way to go. Good job. Lots of stuff to celebrate there. But today we want to shift gears just a little bit, and we're going to talk about prayer. And I know what some of you are thinking, well, the last 4 weeks were so fun. Now we're talking about prayer? What? Oh, just wait. All right. It's going to amaze you. I know. Anyway, hey, this last week, my wife and I, we actually missed last week because we were moving our son down to San Antonio. And on our way down, my son heard about this donut shop in Round Rock, Texas. Round Rock Donuts, right? So we had to stop, right? So we stopped, and I would say our family was kind of mixed reviews. I mean, the regular donuts were really good. But the way I test a donut shop is their apple fritters. There we go. I know some of you preach it. I have to admit, their apple fritters were not very good. It was sad. I've already had some Texas people kind of get upset with me today. But anyway, I'll take our local donuts, and I honestly I'll take Krispy Kreme. I mean, I'm kind of a Krispy Kreme guy. And some of y'all relate, you know what I'm talking about. You know when the light goes on, the fresh donuts are coming out. You know, you feel the gravitational pull to suck you in. You know that. You've been there. Here recently, a preacher friend of mine, he was sharing an email that he got from one of his church members right after he preached a sermon on prayer. And this was the email that he received. It said this: after starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work to avoid driving by Krispy Kreme. Out of habit, I accidentally drove by there the other day and saw the sign for fresh donuts. So I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed some more, and here's what I prayed. God, if you want me to have one of these heavenly wonders of flour and sugar, you'll have to provide a parking space for me. Sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, one opened up on the front row. God answers prayer. God works in mysterious ways. Prayer. We might go a little deeper than that today, but why are we going to talk about prayer today? There's a couple of reasons. Number one, if you're new here, you need to know we talk about prayer often. This isn't even the first sermon this year that was dedicated to the topic of prayer. We strive to be, we are called to be a praying people, and we want to be a praying church. And so we talk about it. We challenge ourselves with that. We recognize that prayer is such a critical part in the life of a follower of Jesus. And so we're going to talk about it from time to time. But we also need to talk about it because we have so much to give thanks for in our prayers. There are a lot of prayers in the Bible that we could open up and we could dissect and learn how to pray, what to pray, and motives in praying and everything. There's many different kinds, but probably one of the most frequent ones are prayers of thanksgiving, expressions of gratitude for what God has done, his mighty works. One of those places is over in Psalm chapter 107, there where the writer, really as you walk through the whole chapter, he talks about times when God's people were in despair, and then in response, God delivers them, and in response, then they give him praise. And every time they give praise, somewhat like verse one, it's either this or something similar to this throughout the chapter. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I want you to say that with me right here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And that's what the writer there in Psalm 107 calls the people there to say whenever they recognize God's hand at work. In January of 2016, we preached through a series on prayer. We were beginning the year of 2016, and I'll be quite honest, if you weren't here back then, First Church was kind of in a struggling stage of our life as a church, and we knew that if we were gonna do great things, if we were gonna reach our community, we as a church needed to submit ourselves to God and allow God to work and ask God to do great things. We didn't know what that would look like. We didn't know what might transpire after that. But we would say that now we look at what God's doing and we say, man, God's doing some great things. And I don't look back on that season and say, well, it all stemmed from my sermon, you know, that I preached in that series. Now, I wouldn't say that, because I believe prayer is has been part of the DNA of First Church since 1907, when this church was founded. It was founded by a group of people wanting to see God do great things in this area, in this community, and around this area. And we just want to continue to be that kind of a church. And it was in that series that I preached a sermon, and my dominant thought, last sermon in the series, was this: we pray because we desire for God to do great things through his church. And that's what we've prayed. And that's, quite honestly, something we continue to pray, is we want to see God do great things. And so on the front end, we pray for God to do great things. But then when we see God do great things, then I believe we have a responsibility to recognize the great things and give him praise, give honor to whom honor is due, and we give God praise. That's why as a staff, almost every Monday morning in our prayer times, we have a time that we just call Yay God time. And that's kind of how I started. Who wants to start off our Yay God time? And it's just a time for our staff just to share stories of things that they had seen the previous Sunday or even the previous week. And we just want to celebrate it, because as a staff, we're scattered all over the facility, and we don't see everything that's happening everywhere. And so it just gives us a time to be able to share and be able to celebrate and to be able to give God praise. And this last Monday, again, we were traveling, so I didn't get to be here. So I asked one of our staff, hey, would you just write down all the Yay God stuff? Because I want to just share some of those things this week. And so I picked a few of them out. Here was our Yay God time from this last Monday. Again, this was coming just off of State Fair Sunday, right, last week. And so number one, there were 60 State Fair volunteers from all walks of life serving together. Awesome, 60 people that made last week happen, which last week was awesome, right? So way to go, State Fair. State Farm, Jake from State Farm. You don't know how many times I have said that as we were planning, and I made it to the third sermon today, and I haven't said that. Anyway, State Fair Sunday. Altogether, over 200 volunteers served on your invited teams, which, way to go, again, to those of you who helped make that happen. Another one, one of our church family members who happens to own a local restaurant, Giant Subs, since they were closed on Sundays, she cooked about 700 of our sausages and corn dogs, including unwrapping them all, right? So yes, way to go, Amy. Oh, awesome, awesome. Another one, the dunk tank guy. The dunk tank guy drove 2 hours to be here from Shawnee, actually went to service and got a corn dog and walked around to enjoy the fair. I know you're thinking, why is that Yay God? It's the dunk tank guy. Who knows? If he doesn't have faith, he came in and he heard about Jesus, all right? So yay for dunk tank guy. All right, there we go. A family that one of our First Church families have been investing in came to State Fair Sunday. I said it right. They got here at 9:15 and stayed until 1:30, right? It's just celebrate. Hey, they stayed and they had a good time. That's awesome. And then Chris, our junior high guy, got this in. Junior high is bursting at the seams. I don't know how many they had this morning. They've been running 80 or 90 kids packed in. Running 80 or 90, packed in room 101, which is the room right behind the cafe, which is not that big. And so imagine 80 or 90 junior hires in a small space. What could go wrong? Anyway, but our senior high is blowing up too. All of our next gen's doing awesome. And so we just celebrate that. It seems like every week there's something about next gen to celebrate. The golf cart ministry is stacked. I'm not sure who said that. Even when we have special events, our volunteers will just jump in. So way to go, golf cart team. You guys are awesome. And then the last one, guest services is so busy and needs a lot of extra help every week. They're just getting inundated, so they need lots of extra help. And lots of our current volunteers either jump right in to help, or Casey even has some that every week they just come to her whenever they show up and say, "Do you need help with anything?" They're there, ready, because they understand the importance of their team, their ministry, of helping first-time guests get to where they're going and get checked in and everything. So way to go to our guest services team, and I'll just take this opportunity. If you're not plugged in and serving, that's a great place to start. Go talk to Casey at the Hub as soon as you're done with the service. Anyway, again, those were just some of the things that came out of this last Monday, and we just love to celebrate because we want, as a staff, we always want to make sure that the glory is going to God and not to us. It's His church. None of us claim ownership of this church or even leadership over the top of the church. It is His church. He's our leader. We follow Him. And we want to be reminded of that every Monday as we get back together. We have much to be thankful for. So let me ask you, when's the last time you told God thank you? That you've shown your thankfulness to God. Let me ask you this question. What's one thing that you are thankful for today? What's one thing that, man, just whenever I even make that statement, boom, it's right there. What's one thing that you are thankful for today? Right now, here's what I want you to do. You're sitting around, people. Okay, find a partner, find somebody next to you, near you, somewhere, and I want you to share with them that one thing that you're thankful for today. All right? Ready? One, two, three, go. All right. Some of you have lots to be thankful for. Okay, good. Bring it back. Okay. Hey, by the way, fellas, I just teed that up for you. If all you had to say was you to your wife. Disappointed. Sorry, I just threw some of you under the bus. Anyway, we need to be a people of thanksgiving. We need to express our thanksgiving. Paul would do that often. The Apostle Paul, in his letters to the churches that he would write to, he would often express his thanksgiving in there. We're going to be over in Philippians chapter 1, where he does that as he begins that letter to this church, that church in Philippi. That church was in a culture that was not much different than ours in that it was very polarized. And it was very difficult as believers of Christ to really live out their faith in that culture. Paul himself, he's writing from a prison cell when he writes this letter to the church. And so he begins in verse 3 of Philippians 1, he says this, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God." Do you have people like that in your life? I mean, every time you think about it, it's like, oh man, thank you, God. You know, maybe it's a grandparent or an old friend, longtime friend, or maybe a mentor. Maybe it's a new friend that you found. You know, it's just like, man, every time you think about them, they just thank you, God, for providing them for me, putting them in my life. That's where Paul's at. But why is he thankful for the church there in Philippi? Keep going in verse 4 and 5. It says this, "Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now." And so what's he thankful for? Their partnership in spreading the good news of Jesus. From the time they became followers of Jesus, they began sharing Jesus with all those around them. And so Paul's saying, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for the partnership that we have. That's the kind of church they were as they partnered together to advance the kingdom and grow God's church. That's the kind of church we want to be. As a church, we want to partner together to reach our communities with the good news of Jesus. That's what our You're Invited series was about. It's about reaching people, and that's why we get so excited about it. And yes, it takes a lot of work, and yes, it takes a lot of volunteers to make it happen, and yes, it costs a lot of money. But as a church, we're able to partner together in a very tangible way to reach out in our community and do what we say. We want to bring a little of the joy of heaven into the sadness of earth. And we're able to do that in those events. And again, we've seen great things happen. It's become a part of our unstoppable movement that we keep talking about, that we want everybody to be a part of what God is doing here, engaged and serving and being in community together. And we're able to do that, see that happening again in a tangible way through You're Invited. And every year we do You're Invited, stories come out. We hear stories. Exciting stories of people who come and people who connect. And today I want you to hear one of those stories. I want you to meet the Chisholm family, all right? So check this out.
I'm Adam Chisholm, and this is my wife, Christina Chisholm. We've been at First Church for just over a year, and our first time we came was on the first week of You're Invited last year. We were at a point in our life back in Texas where we didn't know what God wanted us to do. We didn't know where He wanted us to live. We didn't know job-wise what He wanted for me. We weren't sure the schools even that we needed our kids to be at. So we'd been praying during a span where our lives just kind of got turned upside down, and we were trying to figure all these things out at once, and they're huge life decisions, and we just said, God, we just need You to take this. We can't figure this out on our own. We need You to guide us where we need to be. Pretty soon, He smacked us in the face, and we knew that we needed to be up here. We liked Owosso. We'd already seen First Church online before, but we didn't even really associate Owosso and First Church together yet, just because we didn't know the area geographically. We had a college age, a high schooler, and an elementary age child, and we wanted to make sure they all had a spot in the church that they could grow in, with God and fit. So we went, and it was the mascot Sunday. Everybody was in their jerseys and everything. We had a blast. We got in the parking lot in the car and said, hey, what do you think? And they're like, oh yeah, this is it. This is the church. And so we're like, hey, we don't need to look anywhere else. We're just gonna go with First Church, and immediately just came committed to it.
The biggest, most important part of a big move is making sure you're plugged in and making sure your kids are okay. That's my top priority. And First Church has definitely met those needs of my kids. We were able to find community with serving. I met so many friends, just the parents, the kids, the staff that we work with, all of the volunteers. That's how we have been making all kinds of connections.
I get to help with the middle school small group boys. She gets to help with the nursery. It's great to help guide the kids to be closer to God and just to be able to serve and be a good leader for them and just be an example. For anyone that's not involved in the Unstoppable Initiative, I would say you really need to just dive in. A lot of times we need to step outside our comfort zone and to try something new. God really wants to use everyone here in some way. Everyone's got a gift.
A year ago, the prayers were desperate and fearful, and I would pray, God, I need You to take this. I can't. It's hard to describe, just to see what our life was like to what it is now.
We never would have imagined in our wildest dreams to be in Oklahoma, to be in Owosso, to have a great community, to have a great home, a great job, amazing church. It's like we now have a family in Oklahoma. They're just not our blood family.
Yeah. Did you appreciate Chisholm's for sharing their story? I love hearing how God has worked in their family, but it's also been pretty awesome to watch how God has worked through their family since they've connected here, since they've become a part of what God's doing here and partnering with us. So love to hear that. Paul continues his thought back to Philippians 1, verse 6. He says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He says, God's working. God's working through his people. He continues to work through his people to continue to build his church, to continue to reach lost people. And he's not done yet. And Paul here says, and he won't be done until Jesus returns. That means we've still got work to do. We've still got opportunities in front of us to reach people and to make a difference right here where God has us. And so we need to be a church that continues to pray, because we give thanks for what God has done, right? But now we pray for open doors for what he has yet to do. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at over in Luke chapter 11. That's what we're going to shift to real quick. Over in Luke chapter 11, that's where the disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, Master, teach us how to pray." And that's where he gives them the example prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? And so he lays that out for them, but being the master teacher that he was, he doesn't leave it at just here's the example. He tells them a story to help them understand more about how we can, should approach God. And so it's there in Luke 11, verse 5, he says this, "Then he said to them," Jesus says, "suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.'" Stop for just a second. Midnight isn't necessarily 12 a.m. In that culture, you went to bed when the sun went down and got up whenever the sun came up. And so midnight is in the middle of the night, right? Nevertheless, this friend is coming needing some bread in the middle of the night. Why in the world do you need bread in the middle of the night, so much so that you're going to wake up your friend? And so go to verse 6. Because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Now, if you're going to wake me up in the middle of the night, you better be bleeding. Yeah, there better be an emergency. What hospital do you need me to take you to, right? Bread? You need bread? I mean, there's no emergency here. At most, the man is needing help not to be humiliated, to not lose face for not having anything to offer his other friend. And so how does the friend who's asleep in the home, how does he respond? Look at verse 7. Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me." I think I would probably be echoing the same thing. He says, "The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." Little glimpse into the culture again. Many of the houses there would have one room. The whole family would sleep together in. And so what this man is saying is, if I get up, everybody's getting up. And if everybody gets up, mama ain't happy, right? The kids are, I cannot get up. So Jesus continues the story. He says this, ends the story by saying this, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." The end of the story is, the man gets bread. Jesus says, not because of his friendship, but because of his boldness. Jesus says, that's how we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray with boldness. The word that is used here literally means shamelessly or persistent or even rude. It goes as far to say. And he says, this is how we can go to God. We can bother God. This is a parable. One thing you got to recognize, this is a parable. When Jesus would tell a parable, there was one point. It's not like an allegory where there's a lesson under every character in the story. No, it's one point. And his point is, this is how you pray. Boldly, shamelessly, go to God and lift your prayers to him. Jesus goes on, verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open." We should ask and seek and knock. For many of you, that you've heard this before and you've heard that scripture and you've tried to live out that scripture, asking and seeking and knocking. But often we put all those in one bucket and we say, this is just prayer. We ask and we seek and we knock. I like how one commentator put it. He said that each one of these are a different approach to prayer. Asking is asking God to meet our needs. And specifically, he lays out the needs that we should be asking for in the Lord's Prayer that he just shared at the top of the chapter. And so based on that, we ask God for purpose, provision, pardon, and protection. Purpose, your will be done. Provision, give us this day our daily bread. Pardon, forgive us our trespasses. Protection, deliver us from the evil one. We're to ask, going to God for these things. Now, you might say, well, you know what? I have tried the prayer thing. I have asked God, and he hasn't come through. He hasn't met my needs. He hasn't answered my prayers the way I wanted him to or expected him to, right? I like what Tim Keller says. He says, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. That's good. He'll answer our prayers the way that's best. The point here is keep asking. And then we're to seek over and over again. When we read the Bible and we find that word seek, so often it is about seeking after the heart of God or seeking after a relationship with God. It's like Jeremiah 29:13, where it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We're to seek after the heart of God, be in that relationship with him. And then finally, that leads us to want to knock. Whenever we find mention of a door being opened, in the Bible, it is so often about ministry opportunities. That we knock for God to open a door of ministry for us. One of those places is over in 1 Corinthians 16:9, where it says, because a great door of effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. It's speaking of this door of opportunity that Paul is seeing there. And so we knock that God may open up opportunities for us to serve and share. So we're asking, we're seeking, we're not knocking. Asking is about getting our needs met. It's an inward thing. Seeking is about getting to know God. It's an upward thing. And knocking is pursuing the purpose of God. It's an outward thing. And here's what I believe. If we truly seek after the heart of God, it won't take long before we begin to develop a heart for God and we begin to knock. Because God has a heart for lost people so much so that he sent his only son to this world to die for us. And so if that's God's heart, that ought to become our heart. And the more we seek him, the more we have that kind of a heart. And the more we ought to knock, and we ought to knock, and we ought to knock. How do you knock whenever you go to a person's house? Do you walk up to the door and go, I mean, if you do that, the people on the inside are going to look at each other. Did you drop something? I mean, what was that? No, when you walk up to somebody's door, who doesn't have a ring, you walk up and nobody answers. Especially if you know they're in there. I know you're in there, you know, right? It's like, you're not, we keep knocking. And that's, I think, where Jesus is trying to get at. We ought to continue to knock. God, show me, God, give me opportunity to be able to serve you and make a difference in this world. Listen, we are not done knocking here at First Church. We want to continue to be a church that knocks. We want to continue to be a church that pursues God and pursues what he desires for us. We want to continue to see God do great things. Now, for us to really understand this concept of bothering God, I think we have to understand this concept of God as our Father. Remember in Luke 11, he begins with the metaphor of Father. He shifts to the metaphor of friend. And now at the end, he shifts back to the metaphor of Father. Look at verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We can pray shamelessly because God is our Father, right? He is our dad, and we can go to dad for anything. We've got to understand the doctrine of adoption, being adopted into God's family. If we're really gonna understand this, we are God's kids. It's what John 1:12 says. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Only kids can go to dad, mom and dad, and just ask and ask, daddy, 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 right? Only your child can come to you at 2 a.m. in the morning and say, hey, I need a glass of water. And you'll go get it. Now, you might, you know, be angry, you know, disturbed, but you'll still go get it. We don't even do that for our spouse, right? Your spouse, your wife, your husband, they turn to you and say, hey, 2 a.m., hey, will you go get me a drink of water? Are you sick? What's wrong? Why can't you? Yeah, that's right. Is that just me? Am I the only bad husband in here? I mean, come on. I mean. Thanks. But when it's our kids, right? When it's our kids, it's like, we want to help. When God is our Father, we can go to him boldly. We can bother him. We can ask him over and over again. Listen, there's two ways to approach God. He can either be your boss or he can be your father, your dad. If he's your boss, it's all based on your effort, right? I'm trying to live a good life. I'm doing everything that I can that's good. Give me my wages and my benefits, right? If he's your father, I can't do anything good. I'm not righteous on my own at all. I can't be my own Lord and Savior. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He paid the price for me. He's the reason why I can be good at all. And we can approach him in that way. If God is your boss, you're anxious, you're filled with anxiety, your prayer life is formal, it's intermittent because it only happens when you're desperate. And when God doesn't come through, you're wondering what's wrong. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with God? Right? And when that's the kind of life we live, this statement probably best describes us. My prayer life is weakest when my flesh is strongest. When my flesh is strongest, whenever I feel like I've got it all together, I don't need to pray today. Right? But when God is my Father, no matter what God answers, I know that he loves me. And we can pray aggressively because we know he wants us to be bold, and we can pray trustingly, know that he's gonna answer. And that goes with this statement, my prayer life is strongest when I know God as my Father. That's when it's strongest. I really tried to make that statement rhyme like the other one. The closest thing I could get was my prayer life was rad when God is my dad. I don't know. If that sticks, great, use it. But we need to see God as our Father. That's how we're to approach him, boldly going to him, asking him, seeking after him, knocking. Listen, some of you have been coming to church all your life, and you show up and you punch your time clock and you go. And you hope you get some wages and benefits out of it, right? It's all work-based. That's not the kind of relationship that we want to have. We want to be a church that's pursuing our God as our Father, not a genie in the bottle that just, man, if we do things just right, he'll come through. Listen, some of you came to First Church for the first time during your invited over the last couple of weeks, and again, maybe you're thinking, you know, that is a little bit of bait and switch here. What's going on? It was all fun the last couple of weeks. No, we want to talk about this today because we believe what we have to offer what God has to offer, let me go there. What God has to offer is so much better. Fun is good. And all the things we've done the last couple weeks, awesome. Fun things, reaching out to people. We're gonna do that. We're gonna continue to be a church that tries to have fun, all right? That's part of who we are, right? But the message of the cross, the message of Jesus is so much better. We want to be a place where people come and find their Father, step into a relationship with Him, and find the hope and the joy that He makes available to them, to us, through His Son, Jesus. That's our message. That's our hope. That's the kind of church we want to be. So no, we're not going to do state fairs and tailgate parties every week, but we're going to continue to be a church that asks and seeks and knocks and pursues all those in the communities around us, because God has given us a purpose to make Him known. And I love being able to come together into this place every week. And we come together not as co-workers. We come together as family. And we come together from all of our different walks, with all of our different issues, and all of our different hurts, and struggles, and challenges. None of us come in here trying to act all perfect, because we're not. We come in here with one pursuit. We want to come in here and get closer to our Jesus and continue to follow after Him, continue to knock, continue to serve, continue to make a difference. It's the kind of church we want to be. So we want to end our time today just with one more song of praise and thanksgiving as we close our time here. And so I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I want to pray, and we're going to sing, and then we're going to go. And we're going to go make a difference as His church. Father in heaven, God, thank You for doing the great things that You have done, and we look forward to seeing the great things You're going to do. God, continue to use us. Continue to grow us. God, continue to make a difference. Advance Your kingdom and build Your church right here in this place and around the world. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.